when you hold in your hands a CD with both Doris Day singing Move Over Darling and Marianne Faithfull singing Sister Morphine, it can only be an overview of the career of producer and arranger Jack Nitzsche. The CD is called The Jack Nitzsche Story, Hearing is Believing. Rock historian Ed Ward calls him the unsung hero of rock and roll.
Jack Nitzsche was the man who was everywhere. The son of German immigrant parents who, yes, were related to the philosopher Nietzsche, he was born in Illinois in 1937 and found his way to Hollywood in 1955, determined to study music. That didn't last long. Soon he was working as a music copyist at Specialty Records for their new songwriter Sonny Bono. By 1961, he was getting a reputation as an arranger, capable of writing string parts and orchestral segments for pop songs, and this brought him to the attention of Phil Spector. Spector may have talked a lot about writing little symphonies for the kids, but he still needed someone to put the notes on paper. Nitzsche was his man.
See the way he walks down the street. Watch the way he shuffles.
He's a Rebel was Nitzsche's first arrangement for Spector and one of his simplest. But he'd formed a major partnership with an influential producer. He was also writing songs and arranging them for records, like this one by Jackie DeShannon.
I saw him today. I saw his face. It was a face I loved. And I knew I had to run away.
Spector's influence, the upfront percussion, the multi-tracked acoustic guitar, was obvious. And so is this version's superiority to the Dave Clark Fives, thanks to Nitzsche's arranging skills. Still, he wanted to advertise a bit, so he pulled some strings and did a record for Frank Sinatra's new label, Reprise. It wasn't a big hit, but it made waves. The Lonely Surfer was hardly surf music, the six-string bass lead notwithstanding, but it was pretty sophisticated for rock and roll, and it got him work. Bobby Darin, Doris Day, Little Stevie Wonder, and of course Phil Spector made sure he was busy. In 1964, the Rolling Stones decided to do some recording at RCA Studios in Hollywood and appear in a film called The Tammy Show, of which Nitzsche was musical director, and another major connection was made. He wound up playing keyboards on numerous Stones tracks, including Satisfaction, where he's just barely audible. Unsurprisingly, as rock and roll changed, Nitsche was able to change with it. After Phil Spector hung up his earphones in 1966, Nitsche kept his tradition alive. No idea who Gary Bonner was, but this record from 1967 shows a lot of risk-taking in its arrangement. So does this one. Nitsche's relationship with Neil Young, whom he first produced on Expecting to Fly, would see him joining Young's band, Crazy Horse, playing on and producing many tracks, and eventually moving on to his ranch. Unfortunately, he also started living like a rock star during the 1970s, picking up some rock star bad habits. He continued to work at his usual feverish pace, moving into film soundtrack scoring after doing Nicholas Roeg's film Performance, starring Mick Jagger. He did over 20 during the 1980s. Nitsche landed in rehab over and over, and in 1998 he had a stroke. 2 years later, he died from complications of an infection. Among those at his funeral were Nancy Sinatra, Sean Penn, and the Cramps, which is fitting for a man who is everywhere.
Ed Ward lives in Berlin. He reviewed the Jack Nitsche story, Hearing is Believing.